Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Ken Pai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. This is a podcast that's taking a look at all the frontiers of spatial computing, but specifically how XR is helping to reimagine how humans can tell stories, how they can create art and bring people together and shared experiences in unique and novel ways. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So in today's episode, I'm going to be speaking to Jordana Lee. She's the curator of immersive programming at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts, which is doing all sorts of really interesting interdisciplinary exhibitions from concerts to dances, but also bring in some augmented reality takeovers, but also programming of XR experiences. They also commissioned a piece that was selected to be featured in Venice Immersive Competition 2025, which is called Collective Body. They also had the Lincoln Center Collider Fellowship, which is a really sweetheart deal for artists where they get to do some open-ended research for a year and get a budget, a stipend. A really great opportunity for different immersive artists to push forward their own practice, but also to help inform the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts, all the different ways that they could potentially expand out using all these different immersive technologies to bring the community together and have these unique and novel interactions. Jordana says in this conversation that XR is a little bit like going on a shared journey together, where you're discovering and meeting people in a new and novel way, and that creates a really great baseline for people to connect to each other. So that's a big part of how they're revitalizing civic society and totally in alignment to a lot of the different things that are being talked about at the IFA Doc Lab R&D Summit that happened a few months later, and then a whole report that I have that's about all these different topics and themes of how the frontiers of location-based entertainment for XR is a lot about de-isolating society, bringing them into these big collective social immersive experiences. And yeah, just a lot of really exciting frontiers of what's happening in the broader industry, but the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts is doing that to a very specific detail. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Jordana happened on Saturday, August 30th, 2025 at the Venice Immersive Festival in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Jordana Lee. I'm the Vice President of Programming at Lincoln Center. I've been there for a bit of time. I oversee a lot of the programming, the analog programming at Lincoln Center. So a lot of music, majority of music, some dance, some theatrical storytelling, but not like conventional theater because we don't have a space that's a whole other department of Lincoln Center. And I am spearheading the immersive programming at Lincoln Center as well.
And maybe you could just give a few words about what the Lincoln Center is.
Okay, so Lincoln Center is based in New York City. Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts is based in New York City. It is over 60 years old. I like to think of it as like a college campus. So you have Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, which is sort of the mothership. It is the university itself. And then we have 10 other organizations that are like complete formed organizations. They have their own president, their own budgets, their own board, their own staff, and they inhabit Lincoln Center as well. So you have like the Met Opera, you have the New York Philharmonic, the ballet, Juilliard, jazz at Lincoln Center. And we have more. We have a library. We have, you know, film at Lincoln Center. And they all operate independently. And we operate independently, but we are there also to support those organizations as well as we do program. We program throughout the year, both inside the halls as well as outside. And in the summertime, that is kind of our crown jewel of what we do in programming. From mid-June to mid-August, we do about 200 to 250 shows, all free or choose what you pay. And it's really about building community and having the arts be what brings people together.
And so just so I get a sense of where you're positioned within this mini-headed hydra of sorts of the Lincoln Center. So you said there's 10 different sections, and then is the programming you're doing, is that overseeing all of those sections, or are you just one subsection? Just trying to get a sense of where you're fit within the overall ecosystem of the Lincoln Center.
It's very complicated. So I work for Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, and Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, unlike any of the other organizations on campus, does not subscribe to one genre. So like the Philharmonic subscribes to symphonic music, right? And I mean, subscribe might not be the exact word, but the Philharmonic is known for symphonic music. The opera only does opera. The ballet only does ballet. But we at Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, really are able to fill the gap of all those other art forms that are not just have one organization on campus. I mean, one dedicated organization on campus. So I would say most of our programming is contemporary. We have everything from, we work with like electronic music festivals from like Unsound to having classic tango nights for dance and people coming out for social dance. We have a really strong series that supports the Latin community and the music that comes out of New York City, that Latin music that comes out, like salsa music actually originated in New York City. And we have a whole series that started with that and continues on and really engages the diverse community of the Spanish-speaking population of New York City. We have contemporary dance. We're actually investing very strongly in contemporary dance of all forms. And I see a lot of immersive programming actually being embraced by the dance world. But yeah, so our role at Lincoln Center is, I am part of the programming of Lincoln Center. I do not have influence on the other organizations on campus. However, I feel like they're my cousins or my brothers and sisters, and we do find ways to collaborate. And I am hoping that through some of the immersive programming we're doing, that we can build bridges with the other organizations on campus. I'll say, like, we did an AR piece that was a kind of a geospatial takeover of campus. And our first collaboration was with the library and looking at their dance archives and using that to animate dance across campus in AR. So looking for those collaborations, but I have no direct influence over the programming and livelihoods of those other organizations.
Awesome. Great. Yeah, that's really helpful. Just to get a sense of the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more context for your background and your journey into this space and what you're kind of bringing in terms of, you know, helping to program and curate and commission different works. So, yeah.
So I come from a theater background. I have a master's degree in directing. However, I really quickly realized that in my professional career, I was a much stronger producer than I was a director, and I really loved producing. I love working with artists to bring their projects to fruition. And I think I used a lot of skills as a director working with living playwrights in my producing, but I just became way more charged and successful and found that was where I was supposed to be. I worked for a very small boutique producing organization for 7 years. And then I freelanced for a little bit of time. And then I came to Lincoln Center. And I've been at Lincoln Center for almost 16 years. I helped open up the David Rubenstein Atrium, which is a public space. It's open to the community all year long and is also home to free programming at Lincoln Center. The atrium actually has the mandate to do at least one free performance a week. And we do way more. Right now we're doing about 3 to 4 free performances a week. But the atrium being a public space and a communal space, when I came in as the associate producer, and then I became the director over a few years' time. And when I inherited the programming, I saw that the way that the programming was existing right then and there was only serving one population. And that population didn't look like New York City. And over about 4 years, I changed how we were curating that space. I changed it. I brought in new collaborators, different cultural partners, had some of my team members helping to curate. And within that 4-year time period, we actually took a audience that was a population of 68% white people to 63% people of color. And that was almost exactly the demographics of New York City at that time. That's one of my biggest career successes, is actually making this institution relevant and connected to all of New York and not just this kind of Upper West Side elitist group of people. Then the pandemic hit. And I was part of a very, very small team that kept the institution going. We had a lot of layoffs. We had a lot of, you know, we just didn't have any programming. We went online. I think some of that influenced my interest in the immersive programming because I saw the reach that that could make. And I saw that people really wanted that connection and that there were different ways to connect, even if it wasn't being in the same room together. And then when we came out of, very quickly tried to come out of the pandemic, and we kept on finding ways to do concerts. So we did performance is for like 5-10 people, which now kind of echoes how one does a VR experience. We grew and grew and we did things outside, and now it's been about 5 years since we've been in this new world. Well, you know, give or take, depending on time of when we started in 20, sometimes of 2020. And I've been part of the leadership that has kind of redefined Lincoln Center's role. I'm very proud that Lincoln Center didn't just go back to business as usual. We've really tried to think of, again, take a lot of those core principles of how do we make ourselves accessible to all of New York? How do we represent all of New York? And that is now one of the core pillars to our programming at Lincoln Center. Over the last 4 or 5 years, I've also been starting to talk to artists and people like Sarah Silverblatt Bussard, Nona Hendricks, and talking to people who are really helping me see how technology is catching up to their artistic vision and how they're seeing technology be able to enhance their storytelling. And I was really intrigued with how artists are using this new tool. And that's been where I started to get into more of the immersive programming. Last summer, we did a very large scale piece with Nona Hendricks. It was called The Dream Machine, and it involved AR, VR, and XR. I mean, AR, VR, and AI, and XR, all the R's. And The Dream Machine, it happened for 3 weeks in June, and it took over all of Lincoln Center's campus. It started in the David Rubenstein atrium. We had a physical installation by the visual artist McLean Thomas, and that was an Afrofuturistic garden. And it became home to Bina 48, who is the first Black female humanoid robot. And Bina, for a very long time, was a closed AI, learning and gathering experiences just from interactions, not from open source going to the internet. So we had Bina there. We had activities almost every night there, and Bina would be involved in them. We had one artist teach Bina how to beatbox. We had Stephanie Dinkins did an event with us. And then we had different activations with Bina. Across Lincoln Center's outside of the campus, we had AR that was really telling the history of the land. So it started everything from the indigenous community of the Lenape and some of the traditional dances from there to San Juan Hill, which was the neighborhood that existed on the land of Lincoln Center before Lincoln Center was built. I mean, people were displaced, and we shared some of that history. We also had a sculpture garden because Nona was really feeling that there's all this great art on campus, but there's not a lot of African-American representation. And so we had sculptures by Carrie Mae Weems, McLean Thomas, other fabulous artists. I'm forgetting their names right now. Forgive me. And then we had VR concerts, and they were in the sidewalk studio of David Geffen Hall. And those were about 40 people at a time could come in. There were 4 different concerts you could go to. And one was by George Clinton, one was by Laurie Anderson, another by Skin of the UK group Skunk and Anansi. Nona had one as well. And they were multi-user experiences. You got to choose your avatar. You got to go through the world that was based on the cultural identity of the artist. And then at the end, as you go through it, so it's elements of gaming, you had to go through levels and you had to learn, you learned about these artists, their influence, their cultural influence on them and how they've influenced culture since then. Oh, and Vernon Reed, that was another one, sorry, of the band Living Color. And then from there, you got to go to the end, which was an actual concert by that artist. Nona's whole idea about creating a dream machine was to get people who do not see themselves in technology to start to feel connected to technology. And very specifically, she was really interested in the Black and brown community, especially Black and brown women. And so we did a lot of connecting to communities. We also, Nona really brought in young people to be part of this. She worked with different universities, and we had a lot of opportunities for all people, but young people to really participate, not only to experience it, but be part of the docents, part of the hosting, part of the experience. And I think that that really opened up Lincoln Center's idea of how XR can build community. And we have continued. Oh, and I will also on each, I should say that all of the VR, AR work was done by Sutu and iJack. And that was really special. I think Sutu is a brilliant artist. He understands about bringing people together. He uses his technology in a way to gather and to get people to connect. And I think that was very, very important for a collaborator with Nona. And now we have commissioned Sarah's piece, which I'm very excited about and very proud and thrilled to be able to see it premiere here. And that will be coming to Lincoln Center in October. We have other pieces that we've commissioned. And we also have the Collider Fellows, which are six artists in residence who, it's an R&D lab. It's about 9 months long. It is based in New York City. The artists need to be in New York and be able to be present. That's kind of the biggest commitment we ask of them, is to actually be able to physically be present and connect with each other and connect with others to build, help build community, help build the field too. And for them to help Lincoln Center start to see how Lincoln Center can be more involved in the immersive arts. And so having them present with us inspires us. And then they have a chance, hopefully, to not be on this kind of, what is it, a creative, like, you know, like hamster in a wheel. Like, they don't have to be writing a grant to make a thing, to make a thing, to get the money, to do the thing. This was really a chance for them to just have a chance to stop, go deep on research, or go wide on research. We had six amazing fellows. We're about to announce our next cohort, and they start pretty much when I get back from here. And it's been really fabulous. I think they are changing how the culture of Lincoln Center, of how people see things. We've already gotten some of them involved in activations on campus. They're helping build bridges to other organizations. And part of what we're doing with the fellowship is having like informal dinners where we're bringing different curators, supporters, producers to meet with the artists in the residency program. And to, again, build community. So those are the things that the fellowship is doing.
Yeah, that was a really great overview of the kind of whole journey of all the things that are happening. And I guess one of the things, a theme that I'm hearing again and again, is the cultivation of community. And as I think around just, you know, having a conversation this morning with Casper Sonnen and talking around how, you know, we've had the influence of, you know, technology in a way that with smartphones and addictions to smartphones, and just how also, you know, after the pandemic, the closing down a lot of things, the virtualization and the gig economy, having like Netflix distribute films rather than going to movie theaters, or having people deliver you Uber Eats rather than going out. And so there's this way in which that the technology has had this influence of dissolving our existing structures and social structures. And that it sounds like to some extent that with XR, it has the potential to kind of bring people back into these spaces and to build that community, but also fighting against this sort of idea that, oh, everyone's just going to buy a VR headset and that's going to be another distribution platform where people can be at home and do things, which has been a lot of the paradigm for how we've seen Meta and other companies kind of just treat it as like the next smartphone type of thing where everyone's going to have one. But we also have had discussions last year at Venice of thinking around like the future of location-based entertainment and XR and kind of the distribution channels. And so there's been a few models, like Excurio is one, where there's Eclipso in New York City, where you have more of a big open space to do lots of different people, 100, 150 people per hour to see these experiences. And that's sort of like more of a movie theater type of distribution model. And so just curious to hear some of your thoughts in terms of like how you see like the future of distribution of, you know, different type of projects that you're interested in and how to bring people together, but also what is this connection to the community and how you want to try to foster and cultivate a community and why that's so important for you at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts.
Yeah, I'm a talker, forgive me. that's a lot there. It's very complicated. I'm still learning. I think there's all those tracks are going to happen simultaneously. So you're going to continue where people buy their own headset, stay in their house and do their thing. But that person probably would have gravitated to another way of staying home and reading a book, maybe, or something of that sort. I will say I have a daughter who is 18, and I think between smartphones and the pandemic, a lot of people don't have those interaction skills that they might have had 10, 20 years ago growing up in a different time. I think she was already, and her generation was already not really interacting with each other a lot because of smartphones, but then the pandemic really separated people. So I do think there's some real work happening to bring people together. I think the performing arts is an interesting way to connect people. I was talking to a colleague the other day, and she was talking about how the power of the performing arts also in this moment of AI is important because it does create humanity. I mean, the performing arts does create humanity. I'm not scared of technology. I'm scared of people using technology wrong, but I'm not scared of technology. I think that technology moves us forward, and I'm really embracing it. And I think people who have the right intention need to be the ones in the room helping guide technology, helping guide these stories, helping be the ones creating this world and having their DNA imprinted into this new life that we're creating. And those are all metaphorical things, not literal things. I think that location-based work can really bring people together. I think immersive work can really bring people together because they're having a shared experience that then is new. It's like going on a trip with somebody. You go to a new world, you guys bond on that experience, that you now learn something about yourself or each other, and that now you have that memory together, but you also have that shared moment of like, aha, we discovered this together. And I think that so many storytelling pieces using technology can bring people together. I think that Sarah's piece absolutely does that. Even from the warm-up session to then having you dance with other people at the end, it's how people can connect in a way that maybe they would have never connected before. And they still have a very personal experience, but it does make you feel and connect to other people. The heartbeat experience here as well, and I'm forgetting the official name.
I think it's just a heartbeat, yeah.
Okay. that you connect with a stranger, and all of a sudden you have this biological response of like your heartbeats sync up. And the performing, I've known this for a while, performing arts does sync up. If you're listening to music or you're watching a theater piece, your heartbeats do sync up. And so there is something about how the performing arts bring people together. Also, I think it's really hard to hate somebody when you're dancing with them, right? Like with social dance, you go out there on the dance floor, you start to dance with somebody you've never danced with before, and they don't look like you. They come from a different area, and you make a human connection. So I think it does create empathy. The arts in all different ways create empathy, and the location-based work that I'm intrigued with absolutely connects people. It might be a small group of people at a time, but I think those connections become deep. And they also become connections to Lincoln Center, and that they feel that they were seen and supported at Lincoln Center, and they were able to connect in a new way. Then I think it's the same way people come to the opera and cry and experience that emotion, that they can have that same connection of joy crying or sorrow crying through some of this immersive programming that we're hoping to do.
Yeah. So it sounds like that you're both bringing in artists and having residency programs and also commissioning work. And it also sounds like you have a number of different spaces that might be dedicated for these different types of projects. Maybe you could just describe a little bit around the infrastructure that you have available for you at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts. Since it does sound like you also have like a number of affiliate organizations in this campus, other parts of that, that you may or may not have access to, but just trying to get a sense of, as you're starting to think around the programming and bringing these different pieces, like what type of spaces are you working with?
Yeah, it's interesting. We have a lot of really big spaces that we can do one-offs at. So that becomes a challenge. We have an amazing outdoor space. We have 16 acres of our campus. So doing AR across campus is really powerful. We are continuing to work with Sutu. And right now we have a AR project that is by Miles Regis. He's a beautiful visual artist. And he painted in VR. And you can see his painting that's basically on top of the Met Opera House in AR. So with just your phone, you can just scan a QR code and see Miles's work that's interactive. You can three-dimensional interactive walking through it. We have a black box that we can do different pieces in and installations in. We have the Sidewalk Studio, which is part of David Geffen Hall. It's a small little space. We've done everything from conventional concerts there to receptions, and that's where we did the Dream Machine. That's where we're going to be doing Collective Body. It's a long, narrow space. It's a little unconventional for lots of things. I think we're also, we're going to be doing an installation of Soul Paint at the David Rubenstein Atrium. That's a one-on-one experience, but we're going to be showing the archive on the giant meaty wall in the atrium. And then we're going to ask some prompts that are kind of feeling like, what's the pulse of New York City? What is New York City feeling? And give the creators a little time to review those responses through the artwork that is created in the new archives from gatherings of the atrium. And we're going to be sharing those in a panel as part of a big wellness and well-being summit that's going to happen a few weeks later. So even though that's a one-on-one experience, it's still gathering people together to have a shared moment from the results of that. And they can also see their avatars across Lincoln Center's campus. Artists are helping me see what's available at Lincoln Center. We're thinking of big, immersive, site-specific moments across our campus in the future. We're thinking of, we have a lot of outdoor space, so what are some of these other interactive things that we can do outside and maybe activate Lincoln Center, not just in the summer, but throughout the year? These are some of my dreams I'm still exploring. When we opened up the David Rubenstein Atrium, the architects had no idea how artists were going to use that space and how they were going to redefine and push the limits of that space. And I think some of the work that the Collider Fellows are doing, some of the work of all of the artists that we're bringing into Lincoln Center Immersive are helping us understand what our space is. I will say, with the Collider, we do not have the technology that these artists are looking for. So we have partnered up with Onyx Onassis to have access to their space. So the artists who were part of the Collider get a, while they're part of the Collider, become honorary members of Onyx Onassis, and they can actually go in and use that space. Also, that team has been really supportive of helping if the artists don't know their space already. They have some kind of more white glove experience of that and helping them, and have been there to also guide and ask questions and connect them to other resources and other artists that help them with their development.
And here at Venice, you're watching a number of different pieces. Are you looking to potentially, you know, distribute some of these at your space or invite them in? And just curious what your intent is being here at Venice Immersive 2025.
Yeah, I don't think distribute is the right word, because I think presenting is the word that I would use. I don't think I have the capacity to help these pieces go on past my space. But yes, I am looking for pieces that we could present. I'm also interested in what's happening in terms of the development of new projects and how we can, one, know what's happening, maybe support some development of projects, or at least plant those seeds so that we know what's coming in the future. I want the immersive programming to become woven into everything we do. And I don't want it to be something like, oh, we get to do one thing a year. I want it to be really something that just becomes organic into how we present work. So I am here looking for pieces. I will say, the price tag to present something that is immersive, especially that is a more VR AR piece that is for 10 people at a time, is very expensive because you need to have more time with it. When I present something at David Geffen Hall, I get to have 2,300 people in the same space at one time. To do that with all these XR pieces, I need a lot more time and more running of the piece. So it is important for me to like think about how I can present these pieces properly. And it does cost a lot of money for me to present these pieces properly. So I'm pacing and trying to do that balance. But yeah, I'm looking for works. And I'm getting to know artists as well.
Yeah, and we had a chance to talk a little bit about our experiences of La Ombre, which I'm showing here, and I understand that you took a specific trip out to France to see it. So just curious to hear how that got into your radar, and if you are traveling around to other places to see big immersive, like intersection between the performing arts and XR.
Yeah, I've really been dedicating my travels to really see more immersive work. I still do some travel to see concerts and music festivals and sort of the bread and butter of what we do at Lincoln Center. But there's a lot of work that I'm, and this is a field that's new to me, were relatively new, and I really want to go deep and understand more. I was at Cannes last spring. I was here in Venice last year as well. I went to New Images twice now. And yeah, I actually flew back after Cannes to Paris to see Blanca Lee's piece. And then I also went to the Barbican to see Feel the Sound. I think that's the installation they have there. And In Search of Repetitive Beats. And those experiences, both of them were really important for me because I wanted to see what the Barbican was doing in terms of installation, how they were thinking about performance, how they're thinking about new ways of sharing immersive work, to see some of the pieces there, and then to see how In Search of Repetitive Beats is now, I didn't see it before, but this amazing multi-user experience that got people dancing as well. And then seeing Blanca's piece in Paris was really, I am beyond impressed with what Blanca Lee is doing. She is opening up how people can use this technology in a way that I haven't seen anyone else. The fact that there were 200 people in that theater when I saw it, watching a piece that was MR, you know, you could see the other participants in the room. You walked around, was different than seated here. There were video projections on the dancers as well as the VR. I just thought it was incredible. I think she's really a pioneer and a trailblazer, and she just opened the door for many other creators, and many people will have to thank her for that entree. And I think it's important to see things where they actually develop and in their communities as well as festivals. I've always felt that's important. Festivals are great. I mean, even if I think about the music world, we go to different music festivals, but also seeing one concert in a home where those artists have their own fans, there's nothing else like that.
Yeah, and we've talked a bit about community and bringing community together. What are some of the metrics for success for cultivating community for the Lincoln Center? Because you can look at numbers, but in terms of building relationships or how you start to evaluate or measure or have a way that XR is being able to facilitate, and you know how you start to kind of understand or make sense around the cultivation of community in the context of XR projects and evaluating all the different programming that you're doing there at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts.
I mean, I think that in general, when we're looking at metrics of success, it is seeing how many different communities are coming to Lincoln Center. So we do surveys. We really try to figure out where people are coming from the city. Are they coming just from one neighborhood? Are they coming from the five boroughs? Are they coming from other areas? Do they have different ethnic backgrounds? And do they have different ways of identifying? And are we serving a diverse population? And so that's important to us. I think it's also important to us that we're serving people of different economic empowerments. All of our programming at Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, not the opera, not the symphony, but at Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts is either free or choose what you pay with a minimum of $5. So we're really trying to remove that barrier of access to the arts and really want people to feel like they can come and they can be part of this and they don't have to spend $500 for a couple to come have an experience. Those are the same things that we want to see within the XR programming. We want to see different people coming. We want to see different ages coming. We want to see that we're appealing to people who maybe have never come to Lincoln Center before or people who've never used a headset before. I think we've got a good amount of people on the second half. I think a lot of our regular audience has not used a headset before, but we're really trying to see how we're connecting to others who have never seen Lincoln Center as their home. I will say, you know, we did a big Caribbean day this summer, and people who are from Brooklyn had never come to Lincoln Center because they never had a reason, because they never had an artist that they had seen. Well, we have presented other Caribbean artists, but like they just didn't have that connection of like, and then they said, wow, I feel like you're actually seeing me and you're presenting an artist that is meaningful to me and makes me feel like this is the place I want to come back. And, you know, we continue to present Caribbean artists and we have in the past, but that's an example of a community that had not felt connected. And I see that the same with the XR world. And so I think there's ways of us bridging that gap together.
And I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on the Collider program in terms of, it sounds like artists were coming in and be able to kind of explore open-ended, and just curious to hear if there was any obligations in terms of like, they're going to be presenting something at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts, or if it was more like no obligations, and that if it's just a way of doing research and expanding your relationship out into the XR community, or get some insights for where you could take things in the future. But yeah, just curious to hear a little bit of a debriefing of the Collider program.
Sure. So the way the Collider is structured is that artists are, it's six artists at a time. They are given an honorarium, a stipend, a fee of $60,000. And then they are given a research fund of $15,000. That is for them to use however they want. They do not have to create anything. They do not have to pitch us when they're applying. They don't have to say, I want to make this thing. Please grant me this time to make this thing. We ask them, what would you want to do? Just to have them be thoughtful of like, I have this time. What do I want to use it for? But there is nothing that they have to make. And there's nothing that we promise to present. It is really just a chance to do research, to focus on their artistic process. Some people in the first cohort took time to read, to go deep on research, to explore things, and others made about 10 things. So it was really about how these artists wanted to use their time. One of the artists was like, if I don't take this time to just nourish myself and allow myself to think differently, because I've always been on this like self-eating cycle of like, I make a thing to get the money, to make the thing to get the money. If I can just have this moment to breathe, this is a gift I won't get very often. So I want to give myself that gift. Another artist wanted to really explore learning more skills and hired a tutor and like started to create things and made an amazing product out of that. So I think it's really how they want to choose their own adventure. We have a residency manager who is there to support artists, to help them, to help make connections. I mean, they have all of our resources of the programming team. We have line producers who've met with people to kind of give them advice on how they could maybe make their project come to fruition. If artists want to make connections to other presenters, other funders and things, we help advocate for them. So we're there to really give them a bespoke experience, but there is no, it's not transactional.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. And it sounds like a bit of an artist dream to get gigs like that. So, just curious, because Collective Bodies is a dance piece, are there other pieces that you're particularly interested in dance, or just like looking at all other arts and theater and other disciplines that are coming in? And yeah, just curious to hear if dance is something that's specifically of interest for the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts, or if there's other things you're also looking at above and beyond just dance.
Yeah, it's not just dance that we're looking for, though I think dancers have a unique way of translating to the screen. Like if you think about during COVID and we all had shut down, the most interesting pieces to me were all these little indie iPhone made pieces that were dance and how dancers understood space and movement. And there was a really interesting translation of what they did to the screen. And so I think there's something that I think dancers do understand AR and VR in a unique way that maybe not other creators have that full sense of capture of movement and space. Though I also think that AR is great for storytelling and theatrical storytelling. We at Lincoln Center don't do straight long runs of theater. Lincoln Center Theater does that. Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts does not. I can't program that. I don't have a space that would allow me to have a 6-week run of a show. But I can commission Peter Flaherty and Empire at Sea, which is a theatrical storytelling piece that allows me to do 3 weeks of this piece or something of that to be determined. But it allows me to present or have theatrical experiences in a different way, that storytelling in a different way than I would any other way. So it also is opening up doors for me. I've worked with dancers for many years as well. I worked with choreographers for many years before coming to Lincoln Center. So it's a little bit in my own career DNA. But I do think that there's something really interesting. As I was saying, like what Blanca Lee's done is open up the door. I will also say what Craig has done with Blur, I think also is really opening up the door theatrically and how people experience MR. I think also Craig is a genius as well. And I think a lot of people will be giving him a lot of credit in the future of like, he was the pioneer that helped me understand how to use this tool.
So yeah, that's really a helpful initiative here around the dance. And I think you'll enjoy the way McGringer on the Other Earth and that vein of how to translate dance into more of a panoramic video installation experience that we're showing here as a part of the Venice Biennale. So yeah, I guess finally, I'm curious to hear what you think the ultimate potential of XR, immersive storytelling, and its potential to connect communities, you know, what the ultimate potential of the medium might be and what it might be able to enable.
I have to say, I think my experience of the XR community is amazing. I think it's such a welcoming group of people here that I think we're in really good hands. I don't know what our future is, but I do believe this is an art form that's going to continue to grow and grow. And it's going to become organic, just like how your phone is stuck to your hand is organic. but it becomes an organic way of connecting. I have friends all around the world that I talk to every day because of my phone, and it does build a bridge for me. And I think that this technology is going to continue to build and bring people together. I'm not going to go a dystopian look. I'm an optimist by heart. And I think that this is just a new way of people connecting, and maybe it's going to get people to connect who wouldn't have felt comfortable connecting otherwise.
Anything else left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community? Any final thoughts?
Everyone is welcome to Lincoln Center to come check out what we're doing. And I also really want to learn from everyone here. So I'm still growing. I think that's one of the biggest gifts is to keep on growing. And I hope everyone continues to have open eyes and open hearts to all these new artists that we're experiencing.
Awesome. Well, Jordana, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast to share a little bit more about what's happening there at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts. Really exciting to see a new entrant in this space to help to cultivate the community, to provide support to artists, but also provide exhibition formats and spaces for people to show this work and to really bring communities together and see what the future of the medium is going to bring. So thanks a lot for coming here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thank you. And thank you for all your good work. You build community every day. Thank you.
So that is Jordana Lee. She's the curator of immersive programming at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts. So I have a number of different takeaways about this interview is that, first of all, what's really great to hear the remit for the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts is to bring in a diverse range of different communities from the five boroughs of New York City. And so, yeah, just a way that XR from augmented reality to these immersive experiences is providing this opportunity to experiment with bringing in new audiences, but also to see how XR can provide this shared experience for people to come together and connect. I feel like there's a big theme that's happening within the context of XR is these new opportunities for artists to start to create these collective experiences, having these meaningful interactions with other people. And so XR is providing this context for people to connect to each other in this artistic context, but also to connect to each other as human beings. The piece that the Lincoln Center was commissioning, the Collective Body, was doing this really interesting like experimentation with the way that you're moving your body and categorizing you into these different avatar representations. And then you have this kind of different gestural interactions with other people within the context of this experience. And so it's really quite interesting. And they had a run of Collective Body at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts after it had premiered at Venice Immersive. And so excited to dive more into the details of that piece, specifically with the creator, Sarah Sevelblatt-Busser, within a separate conversation that I'll have once I start to really get a chance to dig into my Venice Immersive coverage. And that it's difficult to hit the same amount of throughput of like 2,300 people per hour or two for an event. It'll take a lot more time to be able to stage an experience because the throughput is much lower for these experiences. And so it's just finding new ways of being able to present and stage and exhibit some of these different programs. And so that's a lot of the different stuff that Jordana is also thinking about, how XR fits into the complex of all these other media that they're showing there at the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts, leaning into all the different ways that they can start to integrate this type of immersive and XR programming, bringing together the communities of New York City in unique and novel ways. So that's all I have for today. And I just wanted to thank you again for listening to the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoyed the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a listener-supported podcast, and so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you could become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.